Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion, of course, Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff. And today we are basically ending our spooky season with a commentary watch of 13 Ghosts, the remake, 2001, which stars Tony Shalhoub and various other people. And here with me, and who picked this particular movie for tonight, the mistress of sci-fi, the queen of sci-fi. I could go on and on, but Miss Vicki Love, nice to have you with us, Vicki.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. This is one of my favorite Halloween movies. If I'm going to watch this movie, I'm going to watch it on Halloween. So I'm happy to do this. This is going to be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Now, just to give you a little bit of a history of the film, this is a remake of a film by William Castle called 13 Ghosts. William Castle was responsible for The Tingler and for many, many special gimmicks in the movie theater itself. This basically had floating ghosts that would show up at certain times, which were transcribed by wires. And this doesn't do any of that, but it really is a nice update. It's a lot of fun. Again, it's Tony Shalhoub, who I love dearly, and one of his few starring roles other than in Monk. But, yeah, this is a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing this, Vic. Tell us a little bit why this is one of your favorite films.
Well, I'm not a huge horror fan, and I don't like slasher, horror. I don't like the female is always the victim horror. There's just a lot of horror I don't like. And this one isn't any of that. This one is an equal opportunity ghost, okay? Lots of different ghosts, 13 actually. And I think there might even be a more than 13, but anyway. And it has a lot of gore in it, but it has clever gore. I don't like gore for gore's sake. I mean, I like Saw, okay? Saw is one of my favorite horror films, too, and it's pretty scary. But I don't like the whole gore, unless it's overdone. You know, Quentin Tarantino, I love his blood because he overdoes it in everything. So, and he's not exactly a horror filmmaker, but that I'm just trying to give an example of why I like this movie. It doesn't over-gore. It doesn't scare for no reason. It has a story to it. A lot of horror doesn't really have story except for these are the bad guys, these are the good guys. The bad guys are going to brutalize the good guys. And maybe the good guys will get away. Maybe they won't. Who the fuck cares? I don't like those kind of movies. So that's why I like this. Has a story. Has great actors. It has that clock mechanical thing in it, which is also really cool. So I just think it's just an imaginative ghost story.
Yeah,
ghost stories.
No. Oh, I love ghost stories. I love ghost stories. This one, has a sense of tongue-in-cheek, too. It has a sense of fun, maybe, is the way I should put it. Whereas, you know, like, I like a little more serious ghost stories, like The Changeling and The Innkeepers and, of course, The Haunting and so on and so forth. But this is fun, and that harkens back to William Castle, who made these wonderfully fun, crazy movies in the 50s and 60s that you and I grew up with. The Tingler, for example.
Right.
You know?
This is like that. It does. It has that feel to it, the 50s type horror movie feel to it.
Absolutely. The second. I was just going to say this is the second film from the same makers. They had done, what was the one, House on Haunted Hill. Also,
right.
Which was previous to this.
That was kind of a trend back then. to take some of those films from the 50s that were more fun than gory horror or slasher. In fact, I think it was like a rebuttal to the slasher movie. It was kind of like, yes, we're tired of the slasher movies. Slasher movies for the past 12 years, nothing but slasher movies. Let's get back to some roots. That's what I felt that era was all about.
Yeah, yeah, and that started in the late 80s with like The Blob, and of course, you know, now they're remaking all the 80s horror movies that are slashers.
Yeah,
you know, so I mean.
You know, I don't know, you know, the remakes today are not like, say, when they remade this one or House on Haunted Hill. I think their intentions were different. The remake today is a remake for money, profit, period. It's really not, unless you have a real artist doing it, some real art goes into it, you know, real filmmaking, then it's just a remake for money. And most remakes are not fun or good these days.
Well, you know, I mean, there are exceptions to that rule, but generally,
yeah, exceptions.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like what I was saying just a minute ago or so, that they remade this one and The House on Haunted Hill as almost as, you know, they admired what they had done before. And those were done in black and white, and they wanted to do them in color. But they kept the reverence to those films.
Right.
And that's
and
what I think.
They kept the fun. They kept the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, reverence is fun when you do something out of the love for it and not out of the profit for it. Like, look at Peter Jackson did The Lord of the Rings, and hands down, everyone loves it. Everyone. And we see all the love it took to make those movies, and it was a 10-year project or more. And then you see The Rings of Power, which was just a slasher of taking Tolkien's ideas and for profit, total profit. I know they didn't make a profit on it, but they intended to, and only for profit. So, you know, that's the difference between back when Peter Jackson made that film. I mean, started The Lord of the Rings is back when, around the time this film was made.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Reverence.
So anyway,
yeah.
Just to let people know, Vicki has a DVD. This is available for rent for $3.99 on Amazon, and that's the way I put it. We are at basically where the Warner Brothers logo starts, and you see the buildings. That's where we are. I'm about 7 seconds into it on Amazon. Let me just check that.
What, 7 minutes?
Exactly, 7 seconds. Yeah, I'm
seven seconds into it.
And we are already matched. We're matched, so you don't need
to
go into it. But I'm just, so that's where we are. And I'm going to let you do the honors. Generally, we do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go as a as our starting countdown. So this is your movie that you picked. I'm allowing you to do that today. In fact, I want you to do that today. The allowance doesn't mean anything. Fuck that.
Yes, I know. You're allowing me? Then I don't want to do it.
Why do you think I just like a oh, shit, I said the wrong thing. I better take it back.
Yeah, you better take it back. All right, unallowed, I'm going to start the movie in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start.
And there we go, and now the Warner Brothers thing is coming up, and there it is. And we're about
I
to
love
start.
I love the way the Warner Brothers was in kind of black and white, and this is
it
also
is in black and
kind
white.
Of, yes, yes, it's very that's very cool.
And Dark Castle, which what? Was Dark Castle was actually Charles Band's third attempt at a studio.
Well, good for him.
Charles
I've
Band
only attempted one.
Empire
so far.
and Full Moon. And he partnered with
oh,
Warner
yeah,
Brothers
Full
on
Moon.
This in Legendary.
Okay. What is more creepy than a junkyard, a car junkyard at night? I've been in one or two or three in my life, and they are scary.
They certainly are.
So it already starts out where they put me into a scary moment of my own life.
Now, I also have to admit, Vicki was saying before we, or during the preface here, that she hadn't seen this movie in a couple of years. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. So I do know the film, but this is almost like a virgin rewatch for me. So forgive me if I don't say tons and tons of things as the movie goes on.
It's okay. Well, I usually watch it once a year on Halloween. And I didn't watch it last year because of things happening in my family. And so I'm kind of a kid. So here it is. Look at
oh,
that
I
old
love,
car.
I love that car.
Ooh. Oh, God, I love him.
Yep. Oh, man. F. Murray Abraham. Salieri forever.
Yes.
And that's Matthew Lillard, of course.
Right. He's been in so many films. His film career is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I must be, I think I'm like 4 seconds ahead of you.
Okay, well, that's okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's fine. 4 seconds isn't that much. Yep, you're about 3 seconds ahead of me.
Yeah, you can hear it, huh? I like this camera work here.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of shaky cam, but that's not quite shaky cam. And
no,
you know
no,
what
no.
that looks like? A TARDIS.
Mm-hmm. Sort of that the TARDIS like needed to take a diet. Of course,
the
last
color
time I saw F. Murray Abraham was in. The Budapest Hotel, and a wonderful role
oh.
in that.
Oh, yes, but look at who that is.
Well, hold on, I can tell you. I think that's Embeth Davids.
What?
I'm not sure who the other one. And I think the woman there is Embeth Davids.
Mm-hmm. move the cube into, you know, I always loved that the cube came out around the same time. And everyone was into cubes back then.
Mm-hmm.
We could have watched.
Of course, when
cube.
We did the Canadian horror film with no, I can't think of the same right now. But we did a show on that, and of course, the cube came up, and the director Vincenzo Natale, who has done some really wonderful work that many people don't.
Oh yeah, because he does a lot of directing on episodic shows, but his most
mm-hmm.
recent that I know of was Sandman on Netflix.
Right.
He did several of
And by the way,
episodes.
our guest was Paul Karupe. It just abated me for a moment. Paul is the head of ConnectSploitation.com. I've known him for over 20 years now, or nearly 20 years.
As you watch, you're going to see people who were at the beginning of their careers that you've seen over the past 20-plus years. In so
mm-hmm.
many other things. In fact, for Abrams, this was after Amadeus, and so some people were saying, wrongly so, saying, oh, he's in a horror movie. This was the beginning of the end of his career.
Not even close.
Not even close. Oh, these guys are so stupid. Ah! Uh-oh. It's
okay, lots
if you
of mayhem, but no blood. Notice, no blood.
Well, there's blood, but it's not in your face type blood.
Like there. Okay.
One of the guys got crushed in the car and the blood splattered on the windshield, but you weren't up close and personal with it.
No.
And the truck had blood splatting outside of it. Oh, and this is the first time anyone's inside the cube and inside the machine. And you're certainly supposed to be trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Well, Cyrus, I guess you're not very wealthy now.
No. And that is the end of F. Murray Abraham. So I just want people to know that the plot of this 13 Ghosts really has nothing to do with the original movie. They rethought the whole thing, which is fine. I actually like that. That you take the basic idea and do something completely different with it.
Right. Right. Well, I guess this is the beginning of changing stories. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But this one does it with reverence of the old film.
Mm-hmm. And you can do a remake with reverence if you understand why the film was made in the first place and what kind of feel it had to people that were watching it. And one of the things I keep saying about William Castle is he was a showman. He was like you're at the circus, or you're at, you know, he's a magician and he's doing all this stuff, and you're just like, wow, look at that, and ooh, that's scary, and that's exactly what the feel of this movie is.
Robert Kurtzman.
And notice that's Howard Berger and Greg Nicotero and Howard Kurtzman all work for Romero. All work for Romero. Dan Glass, who did the visual effects, is part of both Spielberg's group and
Joel Silver, Zemeckis. Yeah, well, these people are all they're at their power at this point in time.
Absolutely.
If you're Zemeckis, you can do anything you want. You can produce anything you want, do any movie you want.
Now, Steve Beck, who directed this, had spent several years working for ILM on visual effects, films like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and The Abyss and The Hunt for Red October. So he has done two films. He did this film, and then he did a film the year after called Ghost Ship.
I really like that movie. A lot of people didn't.
Well, the thing
but
about
see, that's
it
my
is,
kind of
is,
ghost movie.
Right, right. And the visual effects are exemplary, both of them. That first scene in Ghost Ship where, you know, basically everyone is beheaded, that's phenomenal. And the way that he builds it up, and that, unfortunately, I don't think the movie lives up to that incredible beginning.
Yeah, well, Ghost Ship's really great. Hunt for Red October, I think, is one of, you know, the best films. And so, you know what I don't like about this film? And
okay.
All films that do this is this scene right here. The forced family scene.
Right.
Somebody had to sit there and think about how are we going to make this family look like a family? We're going to have them in the morning, before school, before work, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a fan of this kind of storytelling. But there they are born. Oh, my God. Oh.
Oh, okay. just settle down.
Yeah. Yeah, how could you not look at those eyes?
Oh, absolutely. So I do have something to say about Steve Beck, who directed this.
Yes.
Because of Ghost Ship and the failure of Ghost Ship, he left making movies. And that he no longer does that.
Well, wait, The Hunt for Red October came before Ghost Ship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 90s. Yeah. So, and I think that's unfortunate because I think he does a decent job. I mean, these are decent films.
Yeah, well, back then things were different. No one knew what our lives were going to be. No one predicted. Not even the motherfucker that changed everything, Steve Jobs, at this point, when this film was made, even that prick didn't know how he was going to destroy the film industry, the music industry, everything that we loved back then. And so people didn't have other avenues to go to. If you thought you were ruined, then you were ruined.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel bad because in today's era, oh, you just move on and find another medium and go digital and do this and that.
Right.
And it's a shame, too. I really do.
Definitely.
And by the way, for our listeners, I just want you to say that when Vicki has an opinion, she has an opinion. There's
oh,
no
yeah,
doubt
maybe
about
I shouldn't
it.
Have been swearing like that. Sorry, I take it back.
No. I'm talking about the whole thing with Steve Jobs destroying everything. I love it. Go for it.
Well,
you have free
reign
on there. There's something I know and love.
Look at this family. It might have been contrived, that whole situation there. The only digital thing is he brought his laptop and they saw him, their relative, talking about this inheritance, right? And you don't see them all on their phones, ignoring each other, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Also, I want to point out, look at the primary colors. Every color, this is like Technicolor on steroids. It's, everything pops.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the sky is melting. It's melting. Yes.
See, oh my God, a paper and pencil, a microphone, recording onto tape or something. You know, I don't know. It's absolutely great.
So they're in need for money, and they get this inheritance, and they go to the place where the 13 ghosts are.
Yes, they're getting this inheritance, and they're getting a new house. They have lost their mom. She died of cancer. Of course, every mom dies in these old movies. And we've already met her before.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the junkyard. And the person that she was in love with has died. Look at all that TNT. You should bring some of that with you.
And she
is. Oh, there you go. That's good. Love those bags. Oh, look it. Was that film? Was that tape? What is that?
Yeah.
Certainly not a damn
film.
Smartphone.
That's 57.
Yes, that's pretty young.
Either that, or it's Heinz steak sauce with 57 ingredients.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm a Pittsburgh boy. I gotta go there. Give me a break.
I think it's great. If I had a steak right now, I'd put some of it on and eat it.
Very true. Much better than A1, by the way.
Look at this house. Now, my thing is, I don't like... Oh, look at him. We've seen him before, too. I don't like glass houses.
Well, you can't throw stones in them or get stoned in them. You know,
right.
You'll break the window.
TNT. Right.
Yeah, you can't actually have sex unless you're an exhibitionist.
That's the whole point. If you're inside and you turn on a light, everybody around for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet can see you, everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So... who would build a glass house?
Thank you.
And aren't you suspicious? Why is the psychic dressed up like a construction worker?
Well,
what kind of
ruse
is he playing here?
My feeling is that I'm glad he's there. Okay. Now, this is one
of
the
coolest things. Well, he got out of the junkyard.
Yeah, that's true.
He and the girl are the only ones who got out of the junkyard.
Mm-hmm. This whole Rube Goldberg type of machine that handles this house is really something.
Yes. I'm sure that you and I have talked about this before, because I'm thinking about former conversations, how, they probably had the idea for a house, a Rube Goldberg house with traps and everything in it, just like this.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of 13 ghosts really fit into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you could have 13 monsters, 13, but ghosts in a glass house really make sense. Yeah, it is like a fun house. And fun houses
mm-hmm.
are scary. I was at a county fair back in August with my granddaughters, and they would not go into the fun house. They absolutely would not. Now, in their defense, one's 8, one's 6, but they stood there and they looked at it, and they're like, no fucking way are we going into that.
See, you know me. I would be running towards it even at 64 years old. Ooh, give me the fun house. I love, the one thing is I do love Tony Shalhoub. And I think his character in this is really good.
Well, he's a good dad figure.
Yeah.
Well, this is quite different than the cube that we saw in the junkyard, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then who made it? If Cyrus died in the junkyard, who made this?
Or maybe he had it made beforehand, before he died.
Well, those are the questions that need to be answered. He always creeped me out. J.R. Bourne, when he was in Stargate, he was this absolute perfect person. He was always good, always, and here he's just really creepy. And like, I can't wait till these guys all get killed.
But you know what? That's exactly what an audience is looking for in a film like this.
Right.
You know, who are the really bad people?
See, he seems to know about the house, doesn't he?
Yes,
and
he does.
Totally smiling all the time. Yeah.
See, that's part of why this movie works is it does have little moments like that.
Right, right. And every single one of us were raised in a family situation where one of our parents or guardians said to us, stay right there. And as soon as they left the room, we split, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
And then those of us who are parents, we've been on that parent end. Stay right there. You promise? Oh, the
And of course, the whole thing is they're looking, you know, they're looking for money. If you're looking for money, that's the wrong thing to do.
In a place like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a big thing in horror movies. The people under the stairs is that trope also. And there's a lot of them like that. Homicidal, which is another William Castle. The woman, the widow has money and all her relatives are after it. Right?
Right. Right. Well, one of my favorite movies that's not really a horror movie, but a psychological thriller, Double Indemnity, is all about money, too.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, that was huge in film noir. That was big film noir. That was a major trope. Or, you know, trying to kill your husband or, you know, that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Because
right.
you can get
the
life insurance and shit.
That sort of theme runs through this.
Yeah.
Or am I speaking too soon? Because
no, you're not. Because Matthew Lillard just gave it up. Where'd you hide your money, Cyrus?
Yep. Oh, the glasses. You know, he built it especially to harm this guy because he knew how sensitive, what kind of a psychic he is. I love how this is set up. Little glimpses of the ghosts. Little clues here and there. Look how perfect he is. Perfect teeth, perfect lips, perfect skin.
Okay, the drill bucket, do you have it near you? You might need it.
No, I'm actually saying it because he's too perfect.
Right. So here you get some of the backstory.
Yes, and here's the thing, and I think this sets up a good horror story, is you start learning everything that in, like, say, a conventional story, it takes 3/4 of the story to go through.
As in Halloween. Yes. It is Halloween, folks. We're hunting ghosts tonight.
Boy, back when those things were brand new.
Yeah.
Oh, glasses everywhere.
Oh, boy.
How do you get dressed in a room that's got glass walls?
Good question. Well, there is a dressing thing there. See, So I have a question for you, and I already know the answer for you, but this is the answer for me. Would you see this house and want to go in it? And you've already said with glass you have no privacy. It's not only that, it's the design of it. I know it's designed for a reason, right? I don't know what that reason is, but by looking at that house, it creeps me the fuck out. I don't want to go in there.
Right. I mean, if it was daytime, noon, sun shining straight down, I would go inside. But I wouldn't spend the night there. Okay, now see that.
I don't remember. I just know this all goes to shit, but I don't remember how it goes to shit. There's your bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Bathroom's great. I know. See, they could still get out right now.
Yeah.
Oh, this is before the throwing up thing. See,
right.
They always make us look at puke and vomit all the time. But this was before that came into movie making. Because he didn't vomit right there. These days he would.
Well, I just watched a movie yesterday from Noel Vera, which included vomit and dancing and a snake man. And I don't know what the fuck I watched. So, yeah.
Look at, he's... He knows all these ghosts.
Yep.
He knows the secret way of getting into these places.
But you also know he's going to be the first guy to die. He has to be.
Well, you would think so. Well, there's the money. But when you pick it up, you trigger the lock. And now it's no longer a glass house.
Right.
What triggered it? Greed.
The money. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Money, the greed. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched this movie or not. Aliens vs. Predator.
Yeah, I've seen it.
The whole
AVP,
pyramid is one of these. Is a big locking mechanism. Oh, well, too bad.
Wonderful. Again, he does sort of the same gag in Ghost Ship. Not quite.
Well, you know.
I said sort of, not exactly the same.
Right.
But that
yeah,
is,
but it's very
that,
cool.
Oh, yeah.
In a glass wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Phil's still around. There's another jerk bastard.
Oh, hell yeah. Did you see that what's her name? So Shelley Duvall.
Finally. Yes. Yes.
Shelley Duvall is finally coming back to film. And, of course, we know this situation, how Dr. Phil really fucked with her badly. And I was so happy. And I'm in negotiations with the director of that film, Scott Goldberg, to come on to the podcast. And that's probably going to happen sometime in mid-November. We haven't set a date yet, but certainly I'm going to talk to her. I love her. I absolutely adore Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, she's very young. I always thought she was a really excellent method actor. And I know that The Shining really messed with her. And she really didn't come back after it. She did Popeye, but still.
And she did some other things, but don't forget she also did Fairy Tale Theater, and she was a producer too. So, you know, she did work afterwards.
Well, yeah, but producer is not in front of the screen, the camera. Yeah. You know what always creeped me out about this is that
what?
If there are ghosts, you know, like so many ghost hunters say there are. And I was watching a ghost thing earlier today, The Unexplained, an episode about ghosts for Halloween. And you're going to take a bath and a ghost is in it? You know, I mean, that's just freaky stuff. Did you see the words there? Said, I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, the only thing I never really understood is why would you ask your family to come to this place if they have children? You want the children to die?
Well, he doesn't realize it, and they're all going as a family to see The Inheritance. He had no idea that this was a trap.
No, not the dad, the uncle who built it.
Right.
I mean, it's a trap. He left it to them, and then the lawyer was there waiting for them, and the lawyer knew that there was a bag of money, and they had to go inside and sign the papers. So you're luring your family, your nephew's family, who has little kids, into this death trap.
Right.
Why? Who's that sadistic? This guy obviously.
Nah, seriously.
The amount of detail in this film is outstanding.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things we don't talk about is all that Latin.
Right, because most of us can't read it.
Right.
Well, he told you.
I like how he takes control.
Yeah, well, that's one thing about this film that I like also. He's not one of those whimpering dads who are in the corner going, I don't know, I'm so scared. You know, he could be. His wife died. You know, he could be one of those detached from reality type people because their lives fell apart, but he's not. Which makes this movie better.
Well, it's funny. It depends on how that is worked within the context of the film. One of the films I love, Ghost Story, is The Changeling with George C. Scott. The first scene is this horrific accident that kills his family, and he moves to what is in the film Seattle, but actually Vancouver, and gets hooked up in a haunted house. And it's his grief in that really opens him up to what's happening in the house and why the ghost is haunting the house.
Right.
So it depends on how that's handled within the terms of the film.
Right, right. No, I'm just saying this film with the strong father figure, it actually adds tension. He's so worried about his kid.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
But you have to be able to read it.
Yeah.
And that's what you need at that point. You need a piece of humor because the ghosts are really starting to come out now.
Yeah. And that's the point about humor. I mean, even in something like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is brutal.
Brutal.
There are moments where there is humor, and it's specifically designed for that.
Right. Nonsense, put on the glasses.
I like how they handle this between Lillard and Shallow.
That's because these two actors have really great chemistry.
Yeah.
The chemistry between them is good. They play off of each other so well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do have to tell you the reaction from Stephen when I said we were doing this today. I talked to Stephen on the phone, and he says, who picked this? not a big fan of this film. But you know what? I like it. I haven't seen this in a number of years, and I think this is doing a really good job. saw it.
Well, I've never ever been quiet or hiding. Oh, see, now he can see his mother. But, you know, I don't like the same kind of horror you guys like. I don't like it at all. I don't watch
it. No, I know.
And if I watch horror, I watch something like this, of which Stephen would just find boring.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Now, I'm much more akin to ghost stories. I love ghost stories.
Yeah, and so there are ghosts here. And what are ghosts but spirits that are trapped on the wrong side for some kind of a reason?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so,
you know, and the thing is, what we have here, you were talking earlier about, you know, not wanting to go into a fun house. Well, this is exactly a fun house.
Right.
Right?
This is exactly a fun house. The one that, see, logically, you know that when you walk into a fun house, like at a country fair, that it's supposed to give you some scares, but ultimately you're going to be laughing. But this fun house, especially for the audience, because we see so much more than the characters do, we know that
mm-hmm.
this is a fun house that takes its ghosts seriously.
Right.
And yet we still have the fun part or the irony or the see
by the way, I like her. I like the babysitter.
Yes.
Thank you, Morty.
Oh. Yeah, she didn't pick up her glasses.
Right.
Now, I would never, ever flip off a ghost if I was trapped inside of a ghost house.
Yeah.
That was a big mistake. Uh-oh, there's his future smartphone.
Yeah, but there's the good ghost protecting them. They don't know that yet.
That. The jackal is the baddest. Well, put the glasses on, Daddy. Uh-oh, the boob shot. Courtesy for all you guys. Oh, I guess that wasn't TNT. They're just flares. That's because you went in the basement. What if she takes off the glasses?
That's a good question.
You see how the spells, the words are lighting up?
Mm-hmm. Nice. You might want to turn down your DVD just a little bit, Vic.
Yeah? Why is it?
It's bleeding over. That's good.
Oh.
We're good now.
How did you know that? I mean, we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, I know, and then it wasn't bad, and then suddenly it got loud.
Huh. I haven't moved. I haven't done anything.
Oh.
See, now he's seeing. The writer is trying to show you how the spells work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, they have to do their own version of the Necronomicon, which is
right.
Definitely the version.
Uh-oh, it's the murderous kid with the arrow through the head. Who shot the arrow through his head?
I don't know.
What was that? Was that William Tell who shot the apple off of people's heads?
Yeah, that's exactly who it was.
Well, whoever that was missed. Uh-oh. Don't get smashed. There it goes, closing all up. Now it looks like what, 6 cubes, 12 cubes?
Yeah. Thank you. Nice.
So she has a map of the house. Now that it's all closed up the way it is, she can figure out how to get through it.
Right.
But nobody else does, and we still don't know where the boy is.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, and you can see outside right there, the trees are moving.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He should have never stopped making movies. That's
attention
to detail. I love that. That's one of the reasons why I love this movie. Look at all the detail. How many hours did it take to make these sets?
Oh, the set is amazing.
Yes. Oh, dear. And then they find out that they know each other. So I always thought that whole, the locking mechanism in the center of the house is like the
right.
Nine rings of hell in Dante.
So, yeah, that's a good analogy. That's an excellent analogy. But I love this clock, this mechanism. It's fascinating.
Right.
It's fascinating.
The whole idea of this, they did a remake of Hellraiser on Hulu.
Which I saw. It was okay. It wasn't great.
Yeah,
I haven't watched
it. But I've heard mixed reviews and everything. And what I always was intrigued about Hellraiser and why I liked it as one of my scary picks is the box, because it's a puzzle box.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out the puzzles makes everything, takes it to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's cool about this movie. It has the puzzle. Although
right.
we never get the clues. The only one who has the clue is the one with the book. And so we, as the audience members, if there's anything that I would say is a flaw in this, is that the audience members, we only are passive viewers. We never get to, try to figure it out. Oh. Well, what do you think about ghosts now, huh, Daddy? Do they exist? Oh, he's seen that right there.
No.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're in the library. I'm going to run off to the little ladies' room, and I will be back in 60 seconds.
60, 59. Oh, sorry, I won't do that to you.
Yeah, please.
So they're in the library. I do want to talk to people very briefly about the remake of Hellraiser. I thought it was extremely competent. I thought it was a really good film. but it really misses a point of the original, which is the, shall I say, the sexual perversity part of the film. And I think by taking that out, it really disembowels the film from a lot of its power from the original. And though I think that the remake is really well done, it doesn't come close to the original. So I did want to say that. And Beth Davis is somebody I really like. She's not really well known, but she was in I've seen her in a number of things. She was in The Gingerbread Man, and which is an Altman film, one of minor Altman films. But she's been in a lot of things, and I do like her very, very much, and I want to give you a little bit of info on her. She was in Army of Darkness, of course. That's what she's best known for. She was in Ray Donovan, the TV series, Mad Men, Californication, In Treatment. She was in Bicentennial Man, the Robin Williams film, The Gingerbread Men, which I also Fallen, which is the Denzel Washington, Murder in the First, Schindler's List. So she's been in a number of things.
Good career.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you're back?
Yes.
This house is not a house. It is a machine. So you know that the withered lover is the mother that's passed
right.
away. And his wife. So you know that there's one ghost that's on your side. And, of course, now with that revelation, though, if you were smart, you picked that up earlier, that gives them a way out. And that's always important in a ghost story with the innocent protagonist. You must have a way out. Now, whether or not that comes to fruition doesn't really matter. But there has to be that hope to get out of the situation you're in.
And then also, you are the audience, and the audience knows that the title of this is called 13 Ghosts, and she said there are 12 ghosts.
Right. So you also figure out that one of them is going to become the 13th ghost.
Damon said something about 13. There are 13 ghosts.
The 13th ghost is a family. In order to stop the process, the house needs to sacrifice the large instead of this. Willing human sacrifice. The only ghost to be created without an act or not.
And Arthur's supposed to take this leap. I'm wondering, right, lady? That's cool about Arthur. I'm not going to let you do it. You need to come up with something else. That's not working. No way. Meaning, in order for you to save your children, you have to trade your life.
Mm-hmm.
and it's just going to be better way. I don't relax.
Well, we can write the old-fashioned way. My personal favorite.
Yeah, C4.
Whatever we decide, that's the same thing.
Look, I know why you feel like you have to really start getting because this call that we released earlier, I saw everything about seeing.
Again, you're a little loud now.
I'm not going to listen to this video.
Must be because of the way I'm moving.
Yeah, that could be too.
Also, my surround sound has not been acting right, and look at it's blinking right now.
Interesting.
Oh, shit, it just went off. What the hell? Yeah, I think I'm going to have to buy a new surround sound, which makes me quite unhappy.
To say the least.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been acting up for the past month. I don't even know how something like that dies. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's okay. Smart. Very smart.
I love all his present day, add-ons, his little captions to the things that are happening. It makes it very real. Because I'd be the one who would be saying those things, you know, as we're walking through this, trying to get our way out. The little quips here and there.
Oh, yeah.
That's Farscape. I love Farscape because John Crichton always does that. He takes popular, of his era, the popular TV shows and culture, and uses them in quips throughout his experience on the other side of the, you know, galaxy or whatever. And it makes it just so interesting.
A lot of that has to do with taking things from the era and what you're talking about and making satirical asides in that. Certainly, George Romero did that in a number of films too, particularly Dawn of the
right.
Dead, which was his attack on consumerism. One of the great lines in that movie is, "Why are they coming here?" Well, it must have been an important place in their lives, you know. And of course, that's the mall, shopping, and all that.
Right. Right. Right, and that whole thing became an iconic thing about those kinds of zombies, that they always visit those places that were important to them.
Right.
That became a mini trope.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, which is cool.
We still don't know what happened to the boy yet.
No, but he's down there where the last ghost is.
Mm-hmm.
The one that, said was the Charlie Manson of all these ghosts.
Thank you. I like the cross-cutting here.
Yeah.
I like the cross-cutting.
Oh, how about that? Ugh.
Yep.
I would never kiss him. Uh-oh. He just sacrificed himself. There he is. The charm, the one that he's afraid of.
Yeah.
Kind of reminiscent of the guy in the junkyard who got his back broken.
Yes,
too.
Exactly.
Oh, see there, he answered my question.
Yep.
He doesn't care if the kids die.
Yep.
It was all on purpose. Greatness, because there's only one other thing that overpowers greed, and that is being powerful.
Mm-hmm. It's not exactly unexpected that F. Murray Abraham is back, because if you look at the credits, he's second in the credits. And he's killed at the beginning. So that he's second or third in the credits, and he's killed at the beginning, so you know he's going to come back.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He was at the end of the credits that said with. He was the last special star. She must not have had cancer. She must have been burned or something. No, she's been released. Now what, though? Well,
exactly.
Charles Manson dude is still there.
Now, the interesting thing is that what you see that machine reminds me a lot of the Dark Crystal machine that Agra has.
Right. Especially this, yeah, this one. It's also like the machine that is in Contact with.
Yes.
Yeah, that takes. What's her name? I can't think of her name right now. To the planet in the Virgo system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one right here. Well, this configuration comes up again and again in all kinds of different science fiction movies. And, of course, that's
right.
Another reason why I'm drawn to this. Oh, Uncle, you're a warlock, you son of a bitch. So the child and the mother, are they separate ghosts?
Yeah, it looks like they're 12 and 13.
Okay. They should be separate. Why don't you sacrifice him?
Nice.
See, he likes power.
Yeah.
Greatness, power.
Nice.
Yeah, but he never knew about the babysitter, did he?
Yeah.
Well, look at that. Uh-oh, the machine's breaking.
Yep.
Now, why
oh, nice.
Are they coming after him, huh? Because he captured them and he wouldn't let them go
exactly.
to the other side. Which is a really good ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're the 13th ghost, buddy.
Yeah.
14 ghosts.
Thank you.
So now we actually have 14 ghosts.
Yeah.
And the machine's broken, so it no longer matters. Well, now this machine's really broken. No, Dad, don't do that. Well, all that glass is broken so they can get out.
Yep.
I love this part. They're like, yes, we can go.
Love Lillard in this. I love his arc, everything about Lillard.
Yep. You could actually say he's the main character.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's their mom.
And the babysitter got away too, I think, right?
Yep.
I love it when the black person survives. It's wondrous. They did that also in House on Haunted Hill too.
Yeah, and they've done it in lots of things now.
That was fun. I'm glad we watched that. I haven't seen that in a good 15 years at least.
Yeah, see, Halloween doesn't always have to be scary, you know, out-of-your-mind nightmares. It can be fun, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we did a very fun film a couple weeks back called Blood and Donuts, which is a satirical vampire film where the vampire doesn't want to drink blood and turn people into vampires. And David Cronenberg is a mafia boss. Yeah, enjoy that one.
That's cool. That's because David Cronenberg these days, I mean, is he's a you know, he's a regular reoccurring character in Star Trek Discovery.
Nice. Yeah, as well he should be. I mean, he's such a icon. But the point is that was done in the 90s, and no one really expected him to act at that point. And it's just a movie that's fun. I love fun horror movies, and I love satirical horror movies. Very much so, too. You know, you keep saying that I'm a real horror guy and I love gore and that. I'm not a slasher person. Never have been.
No, I mean, I didn't say you were gore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a slasher person. I do love Halloween,
yeah.
But if you look at that film,
well,
it's all
different.
About tension. Exactly.
Halloween
I hate Friday the 13th.
Super iconic. You know, what am I thinking? all the ones that came after Halloween are just the remakes of Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a lot of fun. I'm so glad we watched this today.
Oh, well, I'm happy you were happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's good. Yeah, because, you know, you wanted to watch Alien, and I'd just rather watch Alien at a different time, not for Halloween.
Right. Well, you know, when we talked about this, I wanted to give you, you know, your choice. So the first thing I said, if you want to watch Alien, I know you love Alien, let's watch Alien.
Right.
But then you came
well,
up with this one,
spooky.
And this one's just as good.
Yeah. Well, Alien doesn't really have any of those fun, laugh-out-loud type moments.
Mm-hmm.
Alien has scary moments in it, some real horrific moments in it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Who can ever forget John Hurt and what happens to him? Of course, I do love the Mel Brooks version of that, though. Not again! Hello, my baby. Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, this was fun. I don't get to pass out candy anymore like I used to. My neighborhood's too scary. And so I just watch movies, and this was more fun. Definitely more fun.
Well, you know, I mean, when we were a kid, right, Halloween was fun. And I think that's something that we've lost in a lot of ways, in terms of how certain segments of religious people, you know, view Halloween now. It was always about fun. As a kid, what's better than going to houses in a costume and getting free candy? I mean, seriously, what's better than
right.
that?
Right. That's a lot of fun. But we don't really we don't do that anymore for our kids.
No, we don't. And I think we miss that.
We do. Well, you know, who would have ever thought? I mean, we've been doing that for decades and decades and decades. And believe me when I say the digital world has taken a lot of stuff away from us. And now we're into whole generations that have never done things like that and have just sat on their phones. And so as we become... You know, I am heartened by the fact that Zuckerberg lost so much money last week because people are not buying into his virtual reality, his vision of we all need to be in, you know, have our goggles on and be in virtual reality interacting. People have actually... you know, have not bought into that idea, thank goodness.
Well, I'll take this as a substitute because I love a movie where you're drawn into the world and then you leave the world and you're back in the real world. I prefer that much more than anything else.
So anyway, watching a movie on Halloween, I mean, you and your friends were watching Halloween movies all month. I don't find that particularly fun. But watching Halloween movies Halloween is fun.
Mm-hmm. For me, you know, we talk about spooky season, and of course, on the podcast group, you know, we focus October always on horror movies and that sort of thing. But what we try to do is to mix it up, do different types. And so if you take a look at my list, like one of my favorite movies I started out with on October 1st, and we did a commentary watch, is Wolfen. I love Wolfen.
Yeah,
but that's not your normal, you know, that's not your normal paranormal film. It's not even a werewolf film. And
right.
So, you know, there are so many things out there that constitute horror. It doesn't have to be all gore. It can be old school. It can be Godzilla movies. It can be so many different things.
Right.
And we want to celebrate the breadth of what horror is for October. And so there are witches. There's all sorts of stuff. You can have fun movies like this. You can have scary movies. You have satirical movies, ghost stories, everything out there at the buffet. And that's what we try to do.
Well, Godzilla is definitely a fun monster movie.
Oh, yeah. Now, there are a couple of those that are pretty serious, particularly the original one, if you get the Japanese cut, Gojira.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah, I love Godzilla movies. You know that. We both do. We both grew up watching those on TV. And I love them dearly. But anyway, I just want to say to our listeners that we're so glad that you joined us for this, whether it's on Halloween night or you catch this at a later time and listen to our commentary. Again, Vicki, I want to just say that it is absolutely wonderful to have you on. You have an open invitation. Whatever you want to do, if you want to do another commentary watch, you just let me know because you are always welcome.
Yeah, well, it's definitely fun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's always fun talking to you about film and just having a good time because we always enjoy ourselves, at least most of the time.
Yeah,
90% of the time. Anyway, I want to thank – go ahead, Vic. Oh, by the way, before we go, do you have any more news on your film or anything like that you want to share with us?
No, it would just be repeating what I said on Thursday.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, Vicki's film is called Lake. She's in the middle of the last part of the film that she's shooting. And we wish her well. And by the way, we need to get you on probably after you're done shooting this next part for an update for our video, our audio journal that we're doing for you.
Right. I said the end of November, the beginning of December would be a good time.
Okay. And that'll be really good. Now, as far as what we have planned, I took a break during the middle of the month because I was on vacation. We do have some things happening, but right now nothing is set in stone. There are certain things I mentioned that we may have the director of Forest Hills, which is Shelley Duvall's latest film on. We got a couple other things happening. I also talked to Joe Badon. He'll be on very soon. But that will probably start next week. So for the rest of the week, I do know that on Saturday we will probably do a commentary watch, but we haven't decided what that is yet. But for everyone listening, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Of course, thank you, Vicki, and thank you for that wonderful choice of 13 Ghosts. That was a lot of fun.
You're welcome.
It really was. I hadn't seen that movie in a good 15 years. And that was a really pleasant re-surprise, so to speak. So, again, Vicki, thank you very much. And I think at this point, we're going to say good night. And we'll see you next. We'll see you definitely on Saturday for sure. All right.
Okay.
So, good night, everyone.
Good night.
There we go. And end episode.